are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Our live stream viewers, our Facebook viewers, and then of course our television audience, always a great big honor to bring God's word to you live from Tshwane, right here, the capital of South Africa. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we read from verse 1, the Bible says, "The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. It came to pass at that time that Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, 'Here I am.'" Somebody this morning say, "Here I am." "So he ran to Eli and he said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' He answered, 'I did not call you, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord revealed to him." Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord was not revealed to him. And the Lord called again to Samuel a third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in this place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." And then the Lord spoke to Samuel. And then the text I want to use this morning as we get into the message for the next 23 minutes is verse 9 and 19. "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, you must say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears."'" A lot of people say that God's not talking to them, but the truth is God is talking to you all the time. And today we're going to talk about how God talks to us. I told you, if you are going to have a greater 2018, you need three things in place. You need a house of worship, you need a heart of worship, and you need an ear of worship. Today we're going to talk about having an ear of worship. Having an ear that is tuned to heaven. Discerning when God talks to you. There are many voices that talk to us. There are many circumstances that shout out to us. I believe that 2018 will be a great, great year as we discern the word of God and as we discern the voice of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse 19, the Bible says, "Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground." Now imagine Samuel is a boy 12 years old or younger. God is calling out to Samuel, and God is about to talk to Samuel about judgment upon the house of Eli, the high priest. Think about it. 12 years old, God is talking to a young boy about the future of the nation. Initially, Samuel does not discern the voice of God because he never had a relationship with God. Like many people before I got saved, I never knew what God's word sounded like. I never knew what God's voice sounded like. I had no relationship with God. For me, this thing between God and me was a religion, was never a relationship, wasn't a dialogue, but a monologue. Even when I came to church initially, I mean, I used to go into prayer meetings and people would bombard God like AK-47s, and everybody is just shooting one way, one way, one way, and nobody pushes the pause button and allows God to talk. God talks to Samuel, and Eli discerns that God is trying to get his attention. Well, I believe that God is trying to get your attention in 2018. That's why I told you, if you are going to have a greater 2018, the most important thing you can do is to work on your relationship with God, is to develop a listening ear so that you can hear when God talks to you. Samuel, Tabu, Ntabiseng, Opa, whatever your name is, God wants your attention. When you study the Bible, you will see it was always God's desire to have relationship with man. Throughout, even in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God came. The Bible says, in the cool of the day, God came to hang out with Adam and to walk with him. Think about it, even then they heard the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day. Then there was Enoch, who had such an intimate relationship with God that one day he walked so far with God that God said, why don't you just come home with me tonight? And Enoch walked right to heaven. Old covenant, Old Testament. Then the Bible says before judgment came upon the earth, there was Noah. Genesis 6, the Bible says he was a just man, perfect in all his generation. Noah walked with God. Then you see Abram, God calls him in Genesis chapter 12. God says, follow me and I will make your name great. And Abram is known as what? As the friend of God. Throughout the Bible, God is looking for intimacy. God is looking for relationship, communion with man. Then there was Moses. When God called Moses out of Egypt, it was that the people may worship him. And God calls Moses to face-to-face communion, the Bible says, as a man talks to his friend. Amen. Then, of course, there was Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah, who said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. 2018 will be a great year for you as you worship God. Come on, as you see God first in Jesus' name. I mean, this is meant to be a relationship. This is meant to be a dialogue. This whole Bible, as a matter of fact, is a book of dialogue between people and God, not monologue. We're going to talk about that because we're not going to make this world a better place if we don't hear God and we don't discern God's voice and discern the will of God. It is not going to happen. Habakkuk chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 1, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. So the prophet says, we have to stand and we have to listen to the voice of God. I mean, God knows the future. God wants to reveal the future that he has for you. God wants to lead and guide you into all truth. God doesn't want to talk to you through a prophet. Yes, God wants to put you in a house of worship so that you can connect with God, the house of worship, the gateway to heaven, so you can hear the word of God. But God wants you to have a relationship with him. That's why we don't run after prophecy. We run after God. Can I have a big amen and give the Lord a praise in this place today? Hallelujah. Amos 3 verse 7, the Bible says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So God wants to guide you. God wants to talk to you. I believe this year will be a great year if you draw closer to the Father and if you tune your ear to hear the Father's voice, to discern what God has in mind for you. Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Tell the person next to you, God has a great big future for you tomorrow in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I think people miss God speaking to them because they always look for something spectacular. It's like they're going through a storm, they're going through hell, and it's like, God, why aren't you talking to me? They're looking for something supernatural, something spectacular to come out of the heaven. The truth is that God is talking to you all the time. May not be spectacular, but it always is supernatural. God is talking to you all the time through his word. God is talking to you all the time through the power and the witness of the Holy Ghost on the inside. What we have to discern is how God talks to us. We have to discern the word of God. Samuel. Here I am, Lord. I mean, when God speaks to Samuel and Eli discerns that God is talking to the boy, he doesn't say, Lord, here I am, and begin a debate with God. He just says, here I am. You want to grow deeper in your relationship with God? You have to respect the Father's word in your life. You have to discern when the Father talks to you. And your servant hears. I mean, our attitude should be, give me Samuel's ear that I may hear and obey. When Samuel discerned the voice of God, the Bible says he never allowed a word to fall to the ground again. In other words, Samuel is a man that God knows I can count on. When I talk to him, he's going to listen. When I ask him to witness, he's going to witness. If I ask him to give an offering, he's going to give an offering. If I ask him to go, he's going to go. How will God expand his kingdom if there's not a relationship between us and God? Because this is much deeper than sitting at the feet of Jesus and merely soaking. I mean, when I was a baby, my mother and father carried me everywhere. But it would be pretty strange if on a Sunday morning, my 70-year-old mother walked in here and carried me to the pulpit. Everybody would think it's weird. No, there was a time she had to teach me to walk, teach me to run, teach me to be responsible, teach me to listen. When she speaks, it is final. My kids grew up, initially, you know, the two-year-olds, we never called our kids the terrible twos, we called them the blessed twos. How many of you know what I'm talking about, okay? So whenever you told them anything, they would say, why? And you try and explain that, they say, why, daddy? And you explain that, you say, why? And you say, because daddy said so. Eventually you learn not to have the debate anymore. You just say, David. And he knows there's no debate. And as they get older, they realize that your word is your will for them. To protect them, to bless them, to guide them. So when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, God is there. Sometimes we go through circumstances, we face financial challenges, and it's like we say, God, where are you? We want a sign, we want a prophet, we want somebody to wave his hand over us. And then we run to a meeting and nobody waves his hand over us. Because God doesn't have to speak to you through the prophet. God doesn't have to heal you through Naaman by the prophet putting his hand over you. You don't just have to go dip in the Jordan. You just have to go dip in the Word of God. You just have to read the Bible. Get closer to God and you're going to find God talking to you. Somebody shout amen. Oh, come on, let's give him a praise if we're going to praise him. Hallelujah. The truth is God is always talking to us. He's speaking to us through his Word. And he's talking to us by his Spirit all the time. When you wake up, you are not discerning, but he's there. When Elijah went through a very difficult time in his life, after he calls fire from heaven and he destroys the prophets of Baal and Asherah, 800 prophets, the next day he has a low. Because Jezebel sends a word and she says, I'm going to do the same to you. I'm going to chop your head the same way you destroyed the prophets. And we know what Elijah did. He ran for his life, the Bible says. And he ran to a valley and he said, enough, God, I want to die. Ever been in a place of discouragement? Ever been in a place of confusion? Oh, then we want to run and we want somebody to prophesy. Recognize me in the crowd without first getting my information through your friend. Recognize me and wave your hand over me. And this was Elijah. God comes to him and he sends an angel to him to strengthen him. He first feeds him. This year you better watch burnout because God's going to do great things through you. Come on, somebody say amen. You better take a lot of rest because where you are going, you need all the energy that you can have. Come on, all the pastors, in the name of Jesus, you are going to run and not grow weary in the things that God has for you in this year. So first God feeds him, then God says, Elijah, get out of the valley, get back to the mountaintop. That's why I told you the first thing you need this year is a house of worship. Oh, when you feel low, you want to come to the house of worship on a Sunday. When you feel discouraged, you want to come to the house of worship. Come on. When you are sick, you want to walk into the presence of God. Can I have a witness? You want to be like Jacob to say, how awesome is this place? It must be the gateway of heaven. And then the Lord comes to him. The Bible says he stands on the mountain. He comes out of the cave, a place of darkness where people develop their negatives. That's why people go through a tough time. I say, go to home cell. They say, I don't have time. Come to church. I'm too depressed. No, don't stay in that dark place. Don't stay in the cave of depression. Don't stay in the cave of discouragement. Don't stay in the cave of negativity. Come out of the cave and stand on the mountaintop and give God the glory. Come on, like Job, in the good times and the bad times, let your mouth declare the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Somebody shout hallelujah. And he stands on the mountaintop before God. And the Bible says the Lord passes by him. And a strong wind, so strong is the wind that the mountains break, but the Lord is not in the wind. And then a fire, but the Lord is not in the fire. Then an earthquake, but the Lord is not in the earthquake. And then a still small voice, a whisper. And Elijah wraps his face in his mantle. The mantle is God's call upon his life, and he becomes settled again. Because he hears that familiar voice that called him, that familiar voice that visits him, in the early hours of the morning. For a moment he lost his sanity, and his sanity returned when he discerned the voice of the good shepherd. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." I want to tell you, my dear friend, there is nothing like the voice of God, nothing like the presence of God. That's why Moses cried out, "If your presence does not lead me, I do not want to take a step." Come on, we have to walk with God. And as we walk with God, we will do the greater things, because the Bible says the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out greater exploits. Come on, somebody that's ready for a great 2018, jump on your feet and give the Lord a praise, because you can. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, give him a praise. Give him a sacrifice. When our praise goes up, we know that heaven comes down. So Elijah, God says, "I'm not finished with you." He hears the still small voice. Before that, he's negative. He's complaining. He's lost perspective. Spoke to somebody recently. He says, "I've never been through this." Well, every year I go through things I've never been through. But God has been through them. Jesus paid the price. His grace is sufficient. Come on. He can deliver you from every trial and tribulation. All you have to do is keep your eyes on Jesus and keep on going. And God says, "I'm not finished with you. Your mistake is not your destiny. Your failure is not final. You are not defined by your mishaps in life. I still have called you to be a prophet. I still have called you to be a great woman of God. I've still called you to be a great businessman. Go in this might of yours. Come on, not by might, not by power. You get up again in the name of Jesus. You get up in the Holy Ghost. You put your excuses aside and you get yourself in the presence of God. And then you run to fulfill the word that God has for you." I mean, I've been there. In my early years, people always prophesied around everybody. I never got a prophecy. I'm not too bad, okay? I mean, I got, we brought in a prophetic team. Listen to this. I was the head usher, the chief catcher, and a little church of about 120 people, and we brought the presbytery team, three prophets that prophesy over you. So, there was a chair, then they prophesied over everybody but me. I'm serious. I thought all the time, "Notice me. Hey, I'm the catcher. Notice me. Give me a word as well. Give me 3 days." Till eventually, not even the pastor thought I needed a prophecy. 3 days. But God spoke to me. I heard God. At a young age, oh come on, I learned to discern the voice of God. I discern that God talks to me every time I open the Bible. There's something that happens to me. When I got saved, I got a Bible, an old King James Bible. Hallelujah. In those days, we prophesied, "Thus saith the Lord." Hallelujah. With the American accent, we were full of the Holy Ghost in the American way. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? I mean, I read words like sanctification, justification, righteousness, redemption. Now, I'm an Afrikaner from the Free State. What do I know about sanctification, redemption, justification? Nothing. I just go with it. I say, "Amen, hallelujah, hallelujah." You had to drag it like that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I didn't understand everything, but something happened to me every time I came in the presence of the Word. Every time I came to church, I was changing. Every time I opened the Bible and I read, something changed in me. He was sanctifying me. I discovered the will of God. I discovered the Word of God. The pages would come alive. The pages would jump out of me. And I discovered this is a book like no other book. I need you to praise God for the Bible. This book is inspired by the life of God. It's filled with the Holy Ghost. Every time you read it, God talks to you. So you can't stay a hater and read a book that is founded in love. It is impossible. You can't stay a racist and you read a book that is founded in relationship. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can't stay a stingy person if you read the book of a generous God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It is impossible to stay the same when you have God commune with you through the Holy Scriptures. People want God to talk to them, but they have no respect for the word. I talk to so many people, they say, "I know what the Bible says, but I know the Bible says this, but my culture, I still have to go to the witch doctor. I still have to talk to my ancestors," which by the way is called necromancy, the worship of dead, which is forbidden in the Word of God. Oh, don't shut me down if I'm telling you the truth here today. Oh, clap your hands. Don't clap your hands. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. That's what the Bible says. Then people say, I don't want to be a happy clappy. What are you? A sour, sad prune. Well, I want to be a happy clappy. If you're happy and you show it, clap your hands. Come on. Stamp your feet. Put a smile on your face. Give the Lord Jesus Christ a praise. Come on. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. If it's in the Bible, it is settled. His word is exalted above his name. If we disregard the Logos, we will disregard the Rhema. The foundation of our relationship is the word of God. This is how God speaks. Number one. Number two, the inner witness. But if you disregard the Logos, your spirit man will never obey the Rhema. So Samuel hears from Eli that when you hear the word of God, you say, speak. Mary, when the angel came to her, she said, let it be unto me according to thy word. I've never been with a man. I don't know how it's possible, but your word says. There's the basis of relationship, the word of God. A heart that loves the word. John chapter 14, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my word. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, he that does not love me does not obey the word. He says the word is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So we can't have a relationship with God and disregard the word. It's a religion. Jesus died to give you this Bible. Apostles were tormented, tortured for us to have this Bible. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You have to have a regard for the word of God and not debate. It's like people think God must come out of heaven and correct some things in the Bible. It's like, God, we don't agree. We don't agree. Well, now, God never asked your permission to put Jesus on the cross. God never asked your permission to write this holy book. Still the bestseller in the world every year, without exception. Come on. Still the only book that can change a human heart. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Das Kapital is come and gone, but the word of God is stronger than ever. I need somebody to praise God. The Bible says his word is exalted above his name. Hallelujah. So if we want God to talk to us, we need a place like Elijah, and we need to read the Bible. Good place to start. Just read the Bible. Read the Bible. And as you read the Bible, certain things will jump out, and you know God is talking to you through the witness of the Holy Ghost. So the first thing we have to do is tune our ear. I only have 4 minutes left. Tune your ear to hear the word of God. Second thing you have to do is to tune your ear, and you have to hear me today, because not preached often, because they go together. Is to tune your ear to hear the Father's heart. It's two different things, the word and his heart. A living, abiding relationship. To be passionate about what God is passionate with. A lot of people who want a relationship for what they can get. We live in a time where people have a consumer mentality. They go to churches to meet their needs. And it's okay. We are a church that wants to minister to your needs, but we do not exist to meet your needs. We exist to equip you to go and meet the needs of other people. We exist to train you according to Ephesians 4:11 and 12. So that you can fulfill your purpose, so that when you stand before Jesus one day, you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So Christianity goes beyond what you get. It starts there. So you want to grow deeper in your relationship with God, you need the heart of the Father. Isaiah, in a moment of worship, he sees the angels worshiping God, holy, holy, holy. And he falls before the throne of God. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone. I'm not worthy to be here. The angel touches him. God purges him. The same thing Jesus did on the Calvary 2,000 years ago. Takes your sin away. And then he hears the cry of the Father. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he says, here I am, Lord. When you become a worshiper of God, when you draw closer to God, you cannot live a self-centered life. My name is Jimmy. Bless me, Kimmy. It's all about us and no more. Bless us for and no more. Husband, wife, and children. It's not even in the Bible, that form of Christianity. It's a westernized religion. That's not in the Bible. The Bible that Christ brought, the gospel that Jesus brought, will cost you your life. There is no partial surrender in following Jesus Christ. When you meet God, you meet the heart of God, and that changes you forever. Somebody say amen. I mean, you get professional Christians today, they're grasshoppers. They're not planted in the house of God, as God says. They hop from church to church. Well, I suggest this year you get planted. And not after 3 months when the preacher says something you don't agree with, but it's the Bible. You pack your bag, skip, wick up your copy, and dash your fort. Because you've been trained. I want a church that caters for my needs. And what are your needs? Racial, cultural, what are your needs? We were created by God to worship Him. And this word will challenge everything in your life. You better believe me. This word will challenge your value systems. This word will challenge your cultural beliefs. This word will challenge your relationships. That's why Jesus said, if you love mother, father, husband, wife, anybody more than me, you're not worthy of me. He doesn't say don't love your wife, don't love. He says you love me first. Otherwise, you're going to get it wrong for the rest of your life. You're going to neglect my kingdom to please your wife. You're going to neglect my kingdom to please your child. You're going to neglect my kingdom to do something carnal. So when you come through this door, you meet Jesus and you fall in love with Him, but that's not where it stops. I mean, there are churches, all they do is sit and soak. We have a sit and soak meeting. I tell people all the time, it's not what happens when you fall down, it's what happens when you get up. And if nothing changes, if you're a bitter person before you fall down and you're a bitter person after you, why did you fall down? Just do us all a favor and stand. Or next time we're going to remove the usher so you can fall on your head and you can come to your senses. So we're going to get somebody to slap the fly on the side of your head and get you to grow up so that you can do the word of God. Not be these little sensitive, fickle little Christians that are always offended. It wasn't very convenient for these early church disciples to change the world. Those women lost everything. They lost their homes. They lost their husbands who died for the cause of Christ. Now, if you sit in church too long, your little wife has got a lip so thick, she trips over it with her stiletto. Because who spends 2 hours in church on a Sunday? She was born with a bad attitude. You married her with a bad attitude, and she's never going to change. Well, it's time, honey, you get a relationship with God. You let that ugly old devil go, and you fall in love with Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen in Jesus' name. Like some people think the church must walk on eggs around them. Excuse me. Every Sunday something offends you. When are you going to die? I thought Christians are supposed to be dead. Get in the coffin, man. So Jesus can live through you. How will God change the world if He has to ask your permission? Well, do you feel like giving an offering? No, Lord, you know, I want new curtains in the house. So, you know, I need new curtains, Lord. I don't care about the church, but somebody else can give, but I need curtains, God. I need curtains. I need shoes. And then we say, we want to draw closer to you. We can't worship Him with our lips and our hearts are far from Him. You cannot engage God without engaging the heart of God. It's like you marry somebody and you pick that person's heart up. If you don't, your marriage is in trouble. I tell young men all the time, share your heart. Don't share your goals, share your heart. So the girl understands your heart. Where are you going? What are you about? So when you get close to the Father, He shares His heart. And then you change. And then you hear Him. Think about it, when God speaks to Samuel, it's not just to have a chit-chat. I mean, sometimes people post, I just want to puke. That's why I don't do a lot of posting on social media. Having my cup of coffee today, talking to the Lord. It's like spirituality is having a little latte today, and praise God. Praise the Lord. We're just having a latte. Ooh, hallelujah. And I'm reading my favorite Christian book, and you just drove through past three poor people. You did nothing for any of them. You don't care about the lady that works in your house. All you're interested in is about your little latte, and hallelujah, praise God. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, and the pastor offends you. No, I'm going somewhere else, praise God. Oh, hallelujah, how are you? I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Oh, now you've offended me. I'm going to go get blessed over here. And then, who have you been blessing? Who are you blessing? It's like if we don't get what this Christianity is all about, we're going to get all messed up. I'm going to say it again. If we don't get what this Christianity is about, we're going to get all messed up. Because the blessing of God's going to corrupt us. Think what it cost the father giving his only son. Think what it cost Jesus because of a relationship with his father. So when God talks to Samuel, it's not about a little chat, sit and soak. It starts there, but it doesn't end there. It's about get up and go. 12 years old, God says, you have purpose. Your mother gave you to me, Hannah. You're mine. Now you'll be the next high priest, and you learn from this. He disregarded my word, so I have to disregard him. Because my relationship with you is based on the word. You can go through the Bible. Saul, God's first choice, that was such a humble man. Builds monuments for himself. God says to Samuel, it regrets me that I anointed him. Samuel doesn't go, yay, the man of God sinned. He weeps all night. And he asks God to change his mind. But God didn't change his mind because he knew. Unlike David, Saul was not a repentant man. Saul was a self-righteous man in his own eyes. Even after Samuel exposes his sin, he's still more concerned about his image and about what people think about him than about obeying God. So he says, please, I know I sinned, but just do me a favor. Go with me for the people's sake so I may bring an offering. Let me look good in the sight of the people. And many people live there. They want to look good in the sight of people, but in the sight of God. And Samuel says, he grabs onto Samuel. Samuel pulls away from him and he tears his cloak. He says, because you touched the anointing, you tore my cloak from me, God will rip the kingdom away from you. Because of your final disrespect against the move of God, the house of God, my kingdom will be ripped away. Your kingdom is ripped away from you. No repentance in the man. And he says, because you had no regard for the word of the Lord, God has removed you from being king. Well, this is serious stuff. Because we're not talking about just being born again now. We're talking about walking with the Father. Like Enoch who walked with the Father. Abram who walked with the Father. Well, you're not going to walk with the Father if you don't walk in the purpose of the Father. Amos 3 verse 3 very clearly says, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? Well, God's not going to be in agreement with us. We have to be in agreement with God. We have to be in agreement with heaven's purpose. God's not going to be in agreement with our purpose. Come on. We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, that's the basis of relationship. Saul, persecutor of the church, his first encounter with God. He's clever enough to realize this is Jesus. He says, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus, who you are persecuting. Acts chapter 9. He says, what is it that you want me to do? First encounter with God. He realizes that this relationship is because of a purpose. It is a loving relationship. But it's a relationship founded in purpose. You better get it. It's a loving relationship, but a relationship founded in purpose. When God talks to Moses at the burning bush, he says, Moses, come. I've seen the oppression of my people. Every time God encounters man, is to reveal the purpose he has for that person. And people who miss that stay in the wilderness. Because the purpose of God is what God is interested in, not me alone. It starts with me, but it doesn't stop there. Many people don't get this. They miss this dynamic part of their relationship with God. So it's for them like God is silent. God's not silent if you're in God's purpose. He talks about the word, but when you draw closer to God as a dentist, as a doctor, as a lawyer, as a businessman, and you understand the purpose of your life like Paul did, it will bring a new dynamics in your relationship with God. Like a husband and a wife, they get married. What do? They talk about the future. They talk about their careers. You don't just marry a woman for sex. Well, some of you do, but that marriage won't last. Because women want much more than just sex. Can I have an amen from the ladies? But the brothers need a lot of sex, the married brothers. Can I hear an amen? No, don't boo me. I know it wasn't a boo, it's ooh or whatever. Well, it's just reality. Let's get real, okay? You're not going to build a spiritual marriage and neglect your husband sexually. You're not a smart woman at all. You're setting him up. We're not talking about spiritual things and our heads are on the cloud. You still have to go to work tomorrow and get it right, okay? So we try to bring spiritual truths so you can apply them for your daily life, okay? This year, let me close it, my time is up, will be great. If like Samuel, we have the attitude, give me Samuel's ear that I may hear. That I may hear you, be tuned into you. Not allow a boy or a girl or anybody else to tune me out from God and His plan and His purpose. That's how Jesus lived. That's how we should live. That's how God will bless your business. That's how God will bless your marriage. when you get the Father's heart, when this word becomes your daily bread, and you eat this manna and respect it as God's word. And when you draw closer to God, you discern what is God saying to you. I heard as a young man reading the word, then in times of prayer, I felt I was studying, I wanted to study, I studied law, felt I want to go into politics. The closer I got to God, the more I felt the call of God. Now, wasn't there a booming voice out of heaven? This just became stronger. And then I began to pray the Father's desire. Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now people think the desires of their houses. No. He'll give you the desire. His desire will be your desire. Your desire will be His desire. Not this carnal thing. It's drawing to Him. Walking with Him. Then He'll take you places you can't take yourself. And we'll talk about that next week. Give me Samuel's ear that I may hear. Jesus always said, he that hath ears to hear. What is He saying? This ear. Because we so hear and then we have filters, opinions. We need hearts that are receptive to the Word of God. Amen. And this will be a great year. Draw closer to Him. 2018. Draw closer to Him. Spend more time in the Word. Spend more time in church. Spend more time in a home cell. Spend more time on spiritual things. Listen to me. I'm not lying to you. I'm trying to get you closer to God, because as you get closer to God, you're going to get closer to your destination. You're going to get closer to the God that the things that God has predestined for you. And in the difficult times, the Father will be there. Worship Him. Don't doubt. Worship. Stay close. He'll walk you as your good shepherd.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Everybody pray this prayer with us right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to You. I believe with all my heart You are the Christ. I believe You died for my sin. I believe You rose from the grave and You are alive. Today, I open my heart and I invite You to take Your rightful place as my Lord and Savior. Thank You for forgiveness. Thank You for a new life. Today, I receive You as my Heavenly Father, as my Savior. Thank You for a new life. Thank You for a new beginning. I am forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And the angels are rejoicing.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.